so good to see everybody here today. Praise God. I have something on my heart, and I don't know. God's just, the last several months, well, since January, God has just really been messing with me a lot. And not messing with me in a bad way, but just changing things. And I think I'm going in a direction, and I'm trying to be sensitive, and I'm praying, and I end up changing it. And here we go again. Yesterday morning early, I got up early, and God changed it again. I was studying a message, and man, I was speaking to a brick wall. There was no response. And I was just trusting God. And He gave me to come to this word here. And it's called, Only One Way In. We've been talking a lot about the presence of God. And I want to just talk about it a little bit more today, and share a little bit about some things, and about the Holy Tabernacle, and about the presence of God, and how to go in, and such as that, and the anointing, and the glory. You know, if you're looking for a shortcut to God's glory, you're sadly mistaken. You're not going to make it. It's not going to be a good deal for you. You can't just jump into the glory. It's not like God's anointing, and then His presence, and then His glory. You just can't go to the deep end of the pool and jump in God's glory. There's a process to getting there. When we are with Christ, and you're trying to get into God's presence, there is a process to doing that. And we like a lot of shortcuts. We like to think that we can just jump in anywhere we want to and do that. But most of the time, you know, we got to understand that just because you pray for a few minutes, then it does not mean that everything is just going to fall into place and God's presence is going to come and all this. He moves on our behalf. And a lot of times when we pray, we only get His attention. We don't get His presence. You hear me? We want His presence. But sometimes we just get His attention and not His presence. For God's presence to come and for the glory of God to show, which is a whole other level. We'll talk about that a little bit. It takes commitment, desire, passion, prayer, consistency, and hunger. Blessings flow easily, but the presence and the glory of God, you know, are sparingly given for only those that are serious. If you're not serious about God, you probably won't very, very often experience His presence, and you will never experience His glory. But the thing is, before I get to His presence and His glory, I want to talk to you really quickly about the anointing of God. There's 131 references to the anointing of God in the Old Testament, and there's 18 in the New Testament. In the New Testament, most of the time, it's about the anointing of Jesus, His ministry, His burial, His sacrifice that He has. Also, the anointing also comes on people sometimes. It's like an empowerment to humans. You know, when I'm up here preaching and the anointing of God comes on me, a lot of times you'll probably even be able to, when you know, I pray that there's an anointing. I've been praying and speaking God and seeking God, you know, in my closet. So I'm praying that the moment I step up here, that the anointing is on me. But there's probably a time in the message where you can know that, wow, the anointing really just hit Pastor Doug, because I'm speaking different. I'm talking different. I'm giving you a rhema word, maybe, versus a logos word. The logos word is a written word when I just read something. Okay, out of the word. Rhema word is a live, right now word. When I give you something and you're like, that's from God right now. That's not like right out of the Bible. That's just something that God said through Pastor Doug to me. That's more of a rhema word. And that's what the anointing does. Sometimes in the New Testament, the anointing was God's seal of approval. Like Aaron, when he took the oil, the anointing oil, and poured it over his head, and it says it ran down his face and his beard and all the way down to his feet. That was the anointing. That was setting him apart for approval for God. Also, sometimes God uses His anointing to release the power for healing and deliverance. We've had many people in here that got delivered from anxiety, and a lot of people have gotten delivered from fear, and some people got healed of cancer and such. And all that happened because of me, but God maybe used me or someone else in here as a vessel to flow through a conduit, to flow through into that person for healing that take place in their life. And the anointing of God does that. It's also God's way of setting people apart. And in 1 John, I believe it's 1:9, it says that each one of us have an anointing. Matter of fact, I think the King James calls it an unction. But that unction means anointing. And that anointing, it says that it abides in us and teaches us all things. You know, that's the Holy Spirit as well. But that every one of you in here have some kind of anointing on your life because you were saved. Now, through going through trials and tribulations and stuff like that, and making it and doing well, and being persistent and being constant and making it through those hard valleys, then your anointing increases. You can know that when someone is really anointed, they've probably been through hell. They've been through a lot of things. They've been through a lot of situations. And going through those trials and tribulations does increase your anointing. You can also pray and be saturated by through prayer, and praying a lot and seeking God a lot and being in His presence a lot does increase your anointing as well. But in the Old Testament, it was primarily, all the time it talked about anointing, it was basically for separating people, setting people apart to accomplish things for God. You know, but today, it seems like we're just such a needy generation of Christians that today's anointing is instead of being used to bless God and to honor God and to do great things for God, we try to smell good before other people. We let the anointing be on us, and we want everybody to know, I'm anointed. I'm powerful. God rest on me, you know. And God's like, you just got a little bit of time before I take that from you. Because God don't like haughtiness. God don't like messy. And He does not give us the anointing to make us look better. He gives us the anointing for Him to look better. And when we take it and reflect it on ourselves, He will snatch it from us. He will not allow that to happen in our lives. Now, so in Esther chapter 2, we know that the queen at the time, the king got drunk with some of his buddies and friends and wanted the queen to come out and dance. And she's like, I ain't doing that. And so the king had to find another queen. And so Esther had a goal to try to save the Jewish people. And so she decided she was going to try to be in line and try to approach the king for the right to be queen. She was a Jewish maiden, and she was one of the candidates. And she spent, did you know that if you read Esther, she spent a whole entire year preparing for one moment with the king. That is just so beautiful. You know, there actually, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but go look it up. You can probably find it on some Netflix or somewhere, One Night with the King. It's all about Esther, how she was just, the whole year she was spending for one moment to stand in front of the king. Now, most of the time when guys, you know, she took a whole year to prepare for that moment with the king. You know, I know a lot of women, when they go on dates, it takes like a year for them to get dressed and prepared, you know. But they aren't doing the same thing as that was. They were primping, you know. She was preparing. There's a difference between primping and preparing, right? Us guys, give us 10 minutes, we can get a shower, shave, and everything ready to go. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that she took the first 6 months of that year, and she soaked in myrrh. And she took six. Now, what is myrrh? Myrrh, they took 100 pounds of myrrh and put it on Jesus when he was buried. They wrapped him in 100 pounds of myrrh. Myrrh is also one of the gifts that they brought to Jesus, you know, whenever he was born. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And she put that myrrh, it's very sweet smelling. It's kind of bitter tasting, but it's very sweet smelling. And she put it on to purify and to make her skin soft. It's the very first skin so soft. And so, but the thing is, but she did this just for a moment with the king. It was a year-long process of prepping for this. You know, the thing is that, you know, there's a process. Even let's use the worship team. They just don't come up here on Sunday morning and sing. They spent, at least two hours on Tuesday night practicing together. They spend their own time practicing at home and in the car. They spend time in prayer, a lot of times prayer and fasting. Then they come here at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings or 8:30 on Sunday mornings to come and prepare. And then they pray. And then we go back in my room back there and we pray again before service. There's a process for them coming. They're not just coming up here singing, because if they have not already got to the place where they're ready to enter into the presence of God, how can they take you there? How can a tour guide take you on a tour that they've never been, or they have never been here before? So that's what happens. And so Esther was ready to shine. You know, then she took the second 6 months, and there was a whole lot of aloes and a lot of other sweet smelling oils that she had, you know, and she was doing that, and she was ready to shine. I was prepared for this this to be a hit for the, before the king. And he put this crown on her head. And she's, and I can't imagine after a year of soaking in oils and aloe, how beautiful she smelled. You know, I can tell, you know, like some of the Bath and Body Works, when a lady or even a man, because they got men's spells too, whenever they shower in that, and you come, as soon as they get out, you can tell, like my wife, I know my wife, when as soon as she gets out of the shower, I can smell, I can say, you put on Bath and Body Works, didn't you? You know, sometimes it lingers on even at church. I can tell some, you know, you can smell it after a while. It lingers a little while. But how about, that's just after a look, like a little 10, 20 minute shower. How about if you were 1 year soaking in oil, not just gel, but oil? I know it smelled good, and it got, I'm sure because she had it all over her body and she was soaking it got in her hair. It got all over her skin, and her skin was so oily and penetrated by that, it probably got all over her clothes. So everywhere she went, she was walking, and that smell followed her. Because it wasn't just in front, like, you know, you spray cologne, you know, sometimes you spray back here, so it trails behind you, right? Well, what the thing is that's what happened with her. And as she was walking, everywhere she went, it was just radiating from her. And there's a lot of guys back then that didn't have a good side of mind, and, you know, a lot of men were cheaters and stuff like that, and they... I'm sure the men looked at her and was like, you know, hey, I really like to take you out. And she's like, no, I'm good. Hey, you know, I got lots of money, and I'll give you fame, and I'll give you fortune. I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you all the dresses. I'll give you a kingdom. And she's like, no, 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 no. Why? Because I'm preparing for one person. I'm preparing for a moment with the king. The whole time, she had all these other opportunities to be with these other men, these other idols, these other things. But she was preparing for one moment with the king. See, the thing is we are not preparing for the king. We let every other idol, every other thing in our life distract us. We're like, hey, I'm preparing to spend some time with God. But then the phone rings and we don't spend time with God. We're preparing time for God. I want to go pray and spend time with God. And then the television, our favorite show comes on, or somebody texts us, or we have a thought. Or whatever it may be, that it just distracts us. Or we're preparing for the king and we let all that money, fame, fortune, pop, all this junk distract us from where we are. And we never really get that moment with the king because of that. We're more concerned about applause more than approval from God. In today's society, we really want the applause. Good job, Pastor Doug. You're the man. You're whatever it may be that you're looking for, that applause, that clap. And Scripture says that when you get your clap on earth, that you've given up your right to have one in heaven. That's why it's so important to know that, you know what? That I'm not doing anything here on earth for your approval. I'm doing it for God's approval, for an audience of one. My whole life is, and your whole life should be trying to look for that one moment with the king when you stand before him. And he says, well done, that good and faithful servant. But we try to win approval of other people. We're so concerned about getting other people's approval rather than the approval of God, the king. But I want God's presence more than I want his presence, his gifts. I don't want his gifts as much as I want his presence. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence is where you everything just troubles vanish. There's a song about that. Troubles vanish, right? Things just disappear. But the anointing on our life is temporary when it's rooted in a selfish desire to be in front of other people. If your whole reason to try to want to lead a small group, to be a pastor, to teach or to preach or to get a job somewhere is only for people to see you, then you miss the whole boat of what it's all about. One reason why God's presence is not around is because we give performances rather than worshiping him. And you can't perform to God. He don't want your performance. He don't want your show. He don't want you to do that. You know, it's not about how good you can dance or worship or how good you sing. He wants your heart. We want the approval of other people and the applause of other people rather than the approval of God. There's a difference between God's anointing, God's presence, and God's glory. One the anointing is like the oil. You take some anointing oil and put it on your skin. That's like the anointing, okay? God's presence is more like taking a shower in that oil. And God's glory is like taking a bath in that oil. It's like there's a difference. You know, the anointing of God is what gets on you, and it's kind of temporary. And then and then His presence is more, a little bit more powerful, and it showers us. He showers us with His presence. And then whenever we get the glory of God, in the glory of God, it's where there's really no speaking, nothing can be said, nothing can be done, nothing, but just admire and reflect and stand in awe of Him. And Moses knew this. He performed anointing. I mean, he performed many miracles under the anointing of God. He tapped a rock, and the quails came and gave him food, the ravens and all that kind of stuff. And he separated the Red Sea with God's power and the anointing of God. He did all this stuff under the anointing of God. But then in Exodus 33 and 18, he did all these miraculous things under the anointing of God. But in Exodus 33:18, he says, "Lord, please show me your glory." And we need to understand that there's more to God than just the anointing, the little goosebumps. There's even more to God than His presence. Because His presence is when He shows up. But His glory is when His essence shows up. His glory, when His glory comes, that's as close as you're going to get to God without physically being in His presence. Scripture says that Moses was an humble man. And I kind of feel like Moses sometimes. I have a love for God that shows power and blessings, but I want more. I want more. I don't want just God's anointed on my life. Yes, I want that. I desire that. I need that to be able to do the things He's called me to do. I want His presence. I want His presence to show up every time we're in service. I want His presence to be with me every day. But I want those times in my life where His glory comes and just engulfs me and encapsulates me and just takes me to a whole different place in Him. But to have that, you got to have a repentant heart, a fleshy heart, because in His presence, all flesh dies. But when His glory shows up, flesh doesn't even exist. You can't even do anything in your own ability whenever His glory comes. Luke 9:23, because it says, "Then He said to all of them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.' Either our flesh will get glory or He will get glory in our everyday lives. And we need to give Him the glory. We need to give Him that and push everything that happens in our lives. Always point to Christ. Always say, to God be the glory. It's all about God. We always need to push it that way because it refers to denial of flesh and having a daily repentant heart. God uses the anointing to prepare us for His presence. Because His presence is just an exponential amount of His anointing piled on us and His presence being there. And then His presence prepares for us to be in His glory. In His glory. That's why when we enter His presence, we go up. We enter first off, when we have the anointing, we feel those goosebumps, we feel that power, we feel that authority. But when we get in His presence, we get on our knees. But then when we're in His glory, we're just on our face. We just want our flesh to die. We just want to lay there and just really and pull in everything that He has. And when the anointing comes and finds rest on your flesh, it gives you supernatural powers. But Corinthians 1:29 says, "No flesh will glory in my presence." The difference between God's anointing, God's presence, and God's glory is like a spark of electricity. You could say a spark of electricity is His anointing. You have like a spark of you feel that little spark of electricity. And then His presence is more like a fire. It's a burning fire. And then His glory is like a lightning bolt. So one gets your attention. One will burn you, and one will either kill you or change your life forever. Right? We need God's anointing, but when the glory of God shows up, and whenever you have the anointing in your life, you may have a relationship with people one-on-one, and they see that, and they sense that, and they see that. But whenever the presence of God shows up, people start coming. Just like our last worship night, we had like four or five churches represented here coming to the church, because they realized that the presence of God was going to be here. How wonderful is that for us to worship together and not judge one another or put one another down, but come together and say, let's worship God in His presence together. But whenever you have the glory of God show up, that's when people come from everywhere. They'll drive from different cities and towns just to get the glory of God is there. And I want to get there to that place because supernaturals happen. The crazy stuff's happen. When you have the glory of God, that's like the Shekinah cloud of glory. That's like the pinnacle right before you get to heaven. It's like the most intense presence of God. Like I said, so much, just like He's almost in your physically with you. Esther had only eyes for the king. And when she had only eyes for the king said, and right in front of Haman, right in front of her enemy, she had an enemy that was trying to hang her and trying to put her down. The enemy, right there, the king said, what do you want? Whatever you want, let me know, and I'll give it to you, up to half the kingdom. And that's what happens with God. When we really go before God, and we only have eyes for Him, and we only want to go, He's our King, we want to worship Him and adore Him, we're putting all idols and flesh and addictions aside, then we're saying, you know what, I only want you. And you want that right there. He will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. And He will say, whatever you want, I got for you. God is looking for a bride that only has eyes for Him and not for other gods and not for other idols. If we had more of God's glory show up, when God's glory shows up, you will build and grow faster than any building campaign you can ever have. When God's glory shows up in a place, when God's presence shows up and stays there, you do grow exponentially. But when God's glory shows, all of a sudden things happen that are impossible for man. His glory is the essence of who He is. His glory is the most intimate thing with us. See, authenticity moves God. Realness and heartfelt worship attracts God, not because it's so perfect, but because it's real. People, I used to have, in one of my youth groups, the little tagline would say, I would say, we're real, raw, and we're relevant. That's what I would say all the time. Because of the fact that's what all God wants. He wants you to be real. He wants you to be raw and relevant. He wants you to be relevant to Him and what He's doing. He wants you to be raw with Him and say, God, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I need. Here's what I desire. And He just wants you to be real. He wants you to be authentic. There's nothing greater to God than an authentic person coming to Him in humility. But it has to be a priority. And a lot of the time, we'll just say, you know what, I'm going to just go to church. And so many people show up at churches. All the churches I've ever been through in my entire life since a child, people would come in at 10:15 and 10:30. And I'm not talking about the baby today because the baby was preparing for in one moment before the king. Okay, so I'm not talking about her. But I'm just saying, but we do. We come. But the thing is that we come. When you do that, you've already missed part of the process. We are on a journey to prepare your hearts through praise and to worship and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and when you do that, you're missing out on a big thing. It's like swimming lessons. Okay? You can't, you know, hey, we're already in learning how to swim, but you forgot how to tread water. Okay, you weren't there when we traded water in the very beginning. You're jumping in when we're trying to learn to swim. So you know how to swim, but you don't know how to tread water. So when things get rough and you get tired, you don't know what to do. That's what happens when we're on Sunday mornings. Everything that Mike's prepared from the very beginning is all methodical. And all the first part is, like I said, is praise and talking talking about Him. And then the last songs is talking to Him. And it all prepares you for this moment. But the pastor says it's good. But no, it's not good. Because that's why when you come in here sometimes and I say things, sometimes you get offended. And you get hurt. And you get broken. Because your heart wasn't prepared to hear what the Word of God says. You know, same thing. We got to understand that and say, you know what, God, I want to be there through the air. And I know things happen. I know people drive a long ways to get here. We have people driving from Clinton from all the way past Porter's Neck. And I know some things happen in traffic and all that. But I'm just saying, but doing your best, your desire to say, I want it all. I want to go through the whole process. I don't want to skip any of it because I want my heart to be full. And we are on a journey to the throne. And there's a journey. There's a process to going into the holies of holies. You have the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. I have a picture up here of the eastern gate, the steps to Jerusalem. See if you have that. If I have that picture of the steps out right outside the Temple Mount. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. Let's see here. Maybe not. Do we have that, John? Okay, in a second. Let me go on. Let me tell you about it. Well, this is a place where they were going to the Temple Mount. They would walk up to what the Holies of Holies was, right? And so they would walk up there, but what it was the priests and stuff would walk up, and there was these short steps and wide steps. And every like 10 steps or so, there was a wide step. And they would walk up, and they would read a psalm of ascent. You're ascending up. Psalm of ascent from Psalms 121 to 149. And they would walk up. They would come to the temple. They would come to the Holies of Holies. And they would walk up, and they would stop, and they would read a psalm. And a lot of them still do this. And I love it. And there it is. Okay, and it's kind of ruins right here, but you can see that person there standing right there. They would walk up steps, stop, read a psalm of ascent. They would walk up, stop, read a psalm of ascent. They would walk up, stop, and read a psalm of ascent. And this is where, and then the next picture shows you kind of a little bit maybe how it looked back in the day. There was a little circle thing they did, and I took a picture through it so you could see it. But they would go up, and they would stop, go up and stop all the way up there. And that would prepare their hearts for what was to come. That would prepare their hearts for to enter into the throne room. Psalms 104 tells us there's a process to his presence. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and be thankful and bless his name. This year, me and Gina and Lisa is going to go to Israel. And this year, we're going to get to go to a replica of the Holies of Holies. So we're going to go to an exact replica of what the tent was and how it looked. You know, the outer court, the inner court, the altar of incense, a sacrifice, and the bronze laver. It's going to be so beautiful. I'll try to take some videos so I can show it to you. But there's a process that the priests had to go when they're going into the Holies of Holies. First off, they would have the altar of sacrifice. If you put that picture up, then you can see the court, what it looked like. No, the other one before that. Yep, right here. They would come in here. This would be the tent. This is kind of what we're going to go to. They would come here. This is where they would sacrifice the animals at. This square right here, that is the altar of sacrifice. And that's where they would come, and that symbolizes our dying to our flesh. They would take an animal, a lamb or goat, whatever, or and they would take it and they would sacrifice it and burn it unto the Lord. And then after they did that, they would go to the bronze laver. And that's up here, that's kind of up there a little bit further, a little round bowl looking thing. Okay, that's where you submit to the Lord your soul, your body, your mind. You cleanse your hands, you purify, they're washing. They're washing themselves. That is more like the sanctification process. And that is, they're preparing themselves to enter into the Holies of Holies. And then you get, that's the outer court. Then you get to the inner court, and you have the table of the showbread and the menorah. So let's go to the next picture. And then here's the table of the showbread here on the right, symbolizing strength. And then you have the menorah, the Jewish menorah, the showbread. Is our flesh being the bread of life and strength. And then on the menorah symbolizes the Holy Spirit and the light in our life, and Him being the light of the world and us being the light to the world. Where we ask Holy Spirit to invade us, to surround us, to engulf, to reveal to us, to open our spiritual eyes and ears. So you're walking out from outside, you're walking in here, and you see how many layers there is. It's real thick. There's different layers of linens and stuff. So this is the showbread. And then this right here is the menorah. And then you go up and you see right here, and that is the altar of incense. Now after you get to the altar of incense, Psalms 141 and 2 says, let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. That's the altar. That's where you sit there and you're praying. You're praying before God. You're preparing your mind and your heart to receive from God. And then you go back again to the Holies of Holies. Then you go here. And there, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was right there. You see that? And then the veil, whenever Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. So it was rent from top, split down to the bottom. Why that way? That way it wasn't like man ripped it. It came from the top down as God ripped it. Okay? So it's really cool. It's really cool there. And that little cube is about 15 foot by 15 foot. And once you've poured your heart out to the Lord, you're only halfway there. Now it's time to, as Cindy just saying, when you go in there, it's time to be quiet. It's the most difficult thing in our busy life. We want so much instant gratification. But to get in the presence of God and into the glory of God and just sit there and just allow God to speak to us. Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. Here's where we wait on the Lord in His presence. Now, we don't have to physically do this no more. See, that's what they had to do in Jerusalem. But God says, now, look, I have torn the veil. You can come straight into my presence. You can come boldly to the throne now. You don't have to do all that process. You have to be saved. That's the outside. That's outside. You be saved and you're sanctified and you go right on in. You go right into the presence of God. The most important thing to remember is not to give up things that don't happen when you think they should. Know that even when you don't see them, that God is still working, that God is still preparing. Sometimes we want things to happen and we have this big, huge wall in front of us, right? And we're like, God, why is this wall not falling? But you don't realize there's five or six walls behind that God's tearing down before you can even get to the wall that's right in front of you. There's all kinds of things that, so whenever we get ill and we get upset because God's not doing it in our timing, we got to realize, man, there's other things that God's doing to prepare you. If He tore this first wall down, you won't be ready for the next three walls. So sometimes getting in the most holy place, the inner court where His glory and the kind of clouds that a lot of times is talking about soaking in His presence. That's where you're soaking in His presence. There's even soaking worship, they call it. And what that simply is, it's just music and song designed for you just to be able to be still and seek Him. So what happens when you enter into the presence of God? Psalm 16, it says, keep me safe. And you can come on up if you want to, please. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to You, my refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my master. Every good thing comes from You. The godly people in the land are my heroes, true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in the sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, You alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land that You have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow the Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy and the presence and pleasures of living with You forever. So number one, leave that scripture up there if you would. Number one, safety. When you go into the presence of God, there is safety. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to You with refuge. Number two, the only good things are in His presence. He said, I said to the Lord, You are my master. Every good thing comes from You. Number three, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then number five, it says, trouble for those who run away from God's presence to other gods. There's trouble for us when we run away from God's presence into the arms of other gods. It says, troubles multiply to those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices or their blood or even speak the names of their God. See, Jonah ran to Tarshish, away from God's presence. That's what Tarshish means, away from the presence of God. He was supposed to go over here to people in Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish, away from the presence of God. God is not going to bless. He's not even going to accept our sacrifices when we got other gods and idols in our lives. Number six, security. It says, Lord, You are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. He says that his heart and mind will, I mean, He will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And the enemy can't touch you. He can't get to you. When you're in His presence, he can't get to you. And when you're in the glory of God, He don't even know where you're at that point. Number eight, there's strength to get you through. He said, I know the Lord is always with me, and I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. Number nine, make your heart happy and satisfying. No wonder my heart is glad, He said, and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow the Holy One to rot in the grave. And then number 10, I mentioned this a while ago, the Logos and Rhema word comes alive. Psalms 16, 1 through 11. And it says, You will show me the way of life, granting me joy in Your presence and the pleasures of living with You forever. That's when the Word of God and the Rhema Word of life comes to you. Let me give you just a couple things that happens in finale to close this box. So that's what happens, how you enter the presence, what happens in the presence of God and the glory of God, and then what happens after you leave, and then we're done. What happens when you leave the presence of God? You are enlightened. Moses, when he went up to spend time with God on the mountain and he came down, there was a glow because he was in the glory of God. There was a glow so much that he had to wear a veil over his face. I haven't seen anybody glow that much, but I promise with all my heart before God, I have seen people in the presence of God or have been in the presence of God that I can see the countenance on their face is different. It's like I can almost see wrinkles leave. I can see a joy in their face. I can see a glow. I'm not talking about a pregnancy glow. I'm talking about a glow. I can see I can almost see their physicalness change. And that's what happened with Moses. And that's what will happen with you when you're in the presence of God. And then you are also encouraged. Moses came down, and whenever he was up there being encouraged by God, he came down and encouraged everybody else. And he came down encouraged, not defeated. He didn't come down and say, I met with God, and let me tell you what's going to go on. No, he came down encouraged. He also came down emboldened. He came down emboldened, and he said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Moses was a very humble man, we talked about. But he got that boldness, and he went right to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, confidently. He spoke with authority. And then lastly, you will be empowered. Moses was empowered to take the Ten Commandments, or for us, the gospel, to everyone. He will empower you. And you'll be able to go with boldness and power and authority and in being encouraged and emboldened and enlightened. And God can totally change you. So why should we try to seek the presence? I'm saved. Why should I care about the presence of God or the glory of God? Because there's so much more for you than what you have. It's like an escalator. It'll take you up so much higher. There's different floors. There's a whole many more floors to God's presence with you. Why are you okay with just staying on the first floor? Just making it in. You think the first floor is good? Go up to the penthouse. We'll get to the penthouse one day. But there's so many other floors that we can go, and we got to quit being satisfied with just a little dabble, do you? A little, ooh, glory. That was cool. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I put that picture of the holies and holies back up. You know, it's almost like we get right here at the altar of incense and we're like, oh, that's good. And we open up the veil and stick our head in and like, ooh, oh man, that feels great. And then close it back up and we go back outside. That's not what God's desire for us is. He wants you to get into the holies of holies. He wants you to get into His presence. He wants you to get into His glory and just sit there and bask in all that He has for you. And it's there for you. It's open to you. It's not impossible to get there. You just got to live a good life, do good things, read your Bible. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not this big, long list of things you can't do. It's not looking at a test and say, I don't know all these answers. You know the answers. You got to live right, walk right, talk right every day if you want to see Jesus. It's the same thing. We got to put aside our idols. We got to put aside the distractions and focus on God. But our flesh is so strong to us sometimes. That's why we got to stop at the altar, and we got to crucify our flesh and say, "Not today, Satan. I'm not going to please my flesh. I'm going to please God." And we crucify our flesh, and then we can enter into the holies of holies. I just want to. Pastor Tammy talked about it the other day. I want you to come up. I want you to quit. Yes, y'all are all good. Y'all are all in a great place. I want to pull you up higher. So now that you're in a good place, you're in this great place, I want to pull you up and take you into another place, and I want to lead you into another level of what God has for you. I don't want you to stay where you're at. What kind of pastor would I say, oh, everybody say y'all good? All right. Okay. That's not good enough to me. That's not good enough for me. I want you to come up. I want you to raise up. I want you to experience all that God has for you. I don't want you to get to heaven and say, well, I was saved and I felt some goosebumps and I felt your presence once in a while, but I don't know. Everybody else is talking about all this other stuff they felt. I didn't feel none of that. I want you to feel it all. I want you to experience it all. I want you to experience, as Pastor Tammy talked about in the training about freedom, I want you to experience true freedom. I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to talk in freedom. I want you to live in freedom. I want you to live like God designed for you to live. But you've got to make a choice to crucify that flesh. Because you know what? It does feel good to please your flesh. It does. Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. The Bible says it. Sin is fun. Sin feels good. Sin is great. But it's not as great as what God has for you. And when you can realize that and say, this is good, but this is great. This feels good. This feels great, but this feels incredible. Once you get there, once you get into this place right up here, then you don't care anymore. You don't care about your flesh. Your flesh dies. And once you can truly get in a place where your flesh totally dies, you don't care if it ever comes back on again. You just want to walk in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm asking you to pray and seek God and come up. I want to come up. I'm not there yet. I want to come up more. I wish my flesh would just rot off my body. I don't want to please it. But I'm human, so I do sometimes. We all do, for all have sinned, right? But I tell you what, boy, I don't think I'm more mad in my life than when I do. When I please my flesh and I say or act in a way I shouldn't, man. I mean, the other day I slapped myself. And I said, I hate you. I did. I said, I hate you. Because I don't like hurting God. I don't like saying or doing or acting in ways I shouldn't. And it bothers me. That's the conviction of God. That's when you know you're on the right track. That when you can do something, you're like, probably shouldn't have done that. Then you're in trouble. But when that convicting power of God, you do things wrong, you act wrong, and it just makes you so mad and ticked off, you're just going to like just crush nails. That's when you're like, man, you're doing good. You're wanting God's presence, and you're struggling with your flesh and your spirit, and you're getting closer and closer and closer. And we got to get to that place because God wants us. He wants to wrap you in His arms, and He wants you to go into the holies of holies, and He wants you to live. And it's not going to make you crazy. It's not going to make you just weirdo. It's not going to make you just fruitcake, nuts, fruits, and flakes. It's not going to make you any of that. It's going to help you. It's going to elevate you. It's going to make you better with your character, your integrity, and honor, and trust, and faith. It's going to just bring you up. So come up today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Is anybody here today say, Pastor Doug, I'm not a Christian. In His presence, I just need to get saved. I ain't even experienced His presence. I ain't experienced any of it. I'm at the altar of sacrifice, and I just need to crucify myself on that altar and ask God to come into my life. Is there anybody here at all that say, Pastor Doug, I don't know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I want to receive Christ, and I want to be a Christian. I want Christ to save me. Anybody at all want to receive Christ today? Anybody? Well, who would say, Pastor Doug, I'm a Christian, and I'm doing good, and I felt God's presence sometimes, but I really want to come up. I want to come up, and I want to enter in. I want to be on a path. I want to do better. I want to come up and experience more of what God has for me. Anybody at all want to raise your hand? Yes. Well, that's exciting. You want to come up. You want to come up. Amen. Amen. God, I want more. I want more. I want more. Hallelujah, God, we thank You today. We praise You, Lord. We want more of You. We're not satisfied with what this world is able to offer us. It has failed and is getting worse. The pleasure is only for a season. But God, when we are in Your presence and we experience Your glory, Father, is lasting. It's forever lasting. Is eternity lasting? Help us to seek Your face more than ever before and give You glory and honor and praise and let You get the glory and let us not be worried about getting any glory but only showing it to You and shining the light on You. Help me to come up as pastor and help me to help raise up this congregation to a whole another level in You. We give You praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name. I need you more as a closing. Let's just sing this. If you want more.